Turn this morning to Luke chapter 2. I changed a little bit the text this morning. Luke chapter 2. Might have read this same text last Sunday, but I'm going to read part of it again. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to bring a message on the silence of God. Have you ever prayed and nothing happened? It's not a new experience. You can find it all through the scriptures. God has been silent many, many times. And I hope you'll come. It'll be a message that will tie into the Christmas theme, but something the Lord has laid upon my heart. Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Have you ever thought what a perfect Christmas looks like? Maybe it's a perfectly decorated Christmas tree with lots of presents piled high underneath it. And Christmas cards that are mailed well before the postmark deadline. Outdoor lights all strung up. Snow falling. Relatives happily engaging in loving conversation. Yeah. That'd be a perfect Christmas, wouldn't it? Children playing quietly and being real good because Santa's coming to town. Great food cooked to perfection. Maybe a school concert to go to. A couple of parties to attend with some home-baked cookies. And all of those things together, if you wrapped them up in a bundle, it would be a perfect Christmas, or so we think. Trouble is, our intentions don't always live up to that Norman Rockwell description of Christmas. What happens is there will always be something. Always. It wouldn't be the holiday season otherwise. Holiday seasons, holiday realities, sometimes involve fights with in-laws. Amen. It involves returning gifts that you didn't really want to start with. Burned cookies, collapsed gingerbread houses, stains on the carpet, cranky children. Broken ornaments and grouchy late night sessions at the mall trying to find that last gift. Have you ever worked for days decorating your house, ladies, and the tree only to be disappointed that nobody noticed? Do something different? And wait for that compliment that never comes. Did you ever spend hours on a dinner and maybe you tried out a new recipe? Excuse me. And you fixed that recipe and you put it there on the table and everybody came and ate and nobody touched your dish. Have you ever shopped and shopped and shopped till you dropped for that ideal gift and you knew you got it. And you gave it to the recipient, and there was no look of surprise, no look of wonder, no, oh, this is just what I wanted. It's just not there. If any of those things have happened to you, you have fallen victim to the great lie about Christmas. The lie that says everything has to be perfect. Everything's got to be just like I want it for it to be a wonderful Christmas. The truth is that the real holiday experience will never live up to the potential of our imaginations. There'll be last minute changes. There may be money issues. As I said, presents that don't hit the mark. But that's not bad, because there is no such thing as the perfect Christmas. What makes it perfect is being focused on what it's meant to be. What makes it perfect is to celebrate the life that came into this world and changed our lives. Now, as I was thinking about this, I wondered where do these dreams of perfection come from? Because I've given up on perfection, by the way. Where do those ideas about Christmas come from? What is it that makes us believe that certain elements have to exist for Christmas to be perfect? Well, I have found that they come from three main sources. They come from childhood memories. They come from Hollywood depictions. And they come from the temptations that come from modern day marketing. I want to talk about those for just a minute. The ghosts of past Christmas. Every one of you sitting here, if you go back in your memory, and memories are a wonderful way to connect with the past, because memories are God's gift of allowing us to remember personalities that are now gone and experiences that changed our lives. I love to remember my favorite childhood memories, Christmas memories. I remember some special Christmases and special gifts that I got that I really didn't think I'd get. And there were some surprises, and there were many family stories that I could share. And it amazes me how that reminiscing can still give me those glowing feelings as you travel back down through the ghosts of history of Christmas past. Kind of becomes addictive. It's like dopamine in the brain. I mean, it just lights us up. And those past Christmases in our minds seem almost perfect. And as wonderful as those memories are, those memories can cause a problem. You see, in my Christmas dreams, in my Christmas memories of the ghost of Christmas past, everyone is content and happy and smiling. I bet you're that way too. As you think about those Christmas past, see, I was a child and I was naive about the worries of my parents and the strains of personal relationships among family members. As a child, I didn't pay any attention to any of that. We had in-laws that didn't get along and outlaws too. My daddy worked three jobs and struggled just to buy kerosene to heat the house at a nickel a gallon. And I learned as an adult in later years how my daddy struggled really hard to buy us just the few things that we asked for Christmas. And then sometimes he had to put it on a charge account at the local hardware store, and he worried how he was going to make that $2 or $3 a month payment. so the boys could have Christmas. But he never let us boys see that. It was all smiles and happy. And Mom, she was always worried if she'd have enough food, because back then, you know, people didn't RSVP and tell you how many was coming. They just showed up. And sometimes at our house, we might have 8 or 10, and sometimes we might have 20. But they just came, and they came all through the day. And back then, everybody went around to see what everybody else's kids got, and they, of course, sat around the table, and they ate, and they drank with you, and all that kind of stuff. But as a little kid, it was a perfect Christmas, because I didn't have to worry about paying no bills, and I didn't have to worry about whether I was going to be embarrassed if I didn't have enough food. I didn't have to think about that. So it's good to have those fond recollections. And I don't suggest that we ignore them and so forth. I think parents and grandparents ought to tell those stories of past good Christmases and tell them and pass them on and teach the heritage of Christmas, and so the children will appreciate what they have now. But where I'm going with this is this: when we allow Christmas memories to dictate our expectations for today's Christmas, we make a mistake. There has to come a place where we let go of the old and we get ready for the new. The Apostle Paul alludes to this in the 1 Corinthians 13. He said, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Give up on perfection. For some, Christmas can't be perfect this year because of a reminder of past memories. There may have been a death. There may have been a divorce. There may have been a car accident. There may have been an unforeseen tragedy. There may have been a job loss. There may have been health issues. And Christmas this year will be different. It'll be different. Life is messy, isn't it? We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And the ghost of Christmas's past will rob you of the joy that is to be found in the Christmas present and in future Christmases. You see, the present holds the potential to bring new experiences and new treasures. And we need to learn to allow our Christmases to transform from year to year. And maybe it would be best if we put away into a photo album in our mind those old images and old memories and embrace the changes that come and rejoice in what God has given us for this Christmas. God always shows up in life when it gets messy. So, first of all, childhood memories. The ghost of Christmas past calls us to measure every Christmas by those rose-colored glasses that we look back with and see those perfect Christmases. The second thing that I think causes us to try to have a perfect Christmas is Hollywood expectations and depictions. As much as Hollywood has to offer through their storylines and their Christmas programs and the Hallmark Channel, you know, they have 25 Days of Christmas with all of those wonderfully decorated homes and those perfectly dressed parents and those perfectly mannered children and those gifts that everybody is thrilled to get and that table that is perfectly set and everything looks so wonderful and the music plays in the background and we sit and we watch. And everybody, it appears in those movies, has got plenty of money to spend on gifts. And there are no messes. There's no worn out decorations. Everybody's happy. And we watch that and our mind is conditioned. And then we look at our room and our house and our family and we say, you know, something wrong here. How did I get brought into this mess? Who are these people? You know. See, unfortunately, real life, and real Christmases just aren't always that glamorous, are they? For most of us, people struggle with the expense of Christmas. What a joy it was to hear you tell about the blessing, Elizabeth, that you received. And we see that on TV where people are going around passing out $100 bills. I've been looking for some of those folks. I ain't found them yet. But and folks that, you know, pay for others' gifts and things. That's a wonderful blessing. Decorations oftentimes are sorely underrated according to Hollywood standards. See, Hollywood can spend millions of dollars on those decorations in them movies you watch, but you can't spend that kind of money. So yours don't work out like that. And in those Hollywood movies, especially those Hallmark ones, and I'm not bashing Hallmark, they're better than most programs you see, but everybody in the family loves everybody, and they're happy. But those family circumstances don't always work out so well in real life, do they? No matter how hard we try, we'll never be able to live up to and make our Christmas Hollywood perfect. So what should we do? We should cultivate a heart of gratitude and be thankful for all that you do have and for what God has provided you with. We should remember that one of the Ten Commandments talks about not coveting those things that we don't have. See, a heart that's content. And Paul said we need to learn to be content with whatsoever we have. A heart that's content will always keep your life in proper perspective. When we appreciate and when we realize all that we have, how can we not be grateful even in the light of what we don't have? So childhood memories cause us to imagine a perfect Christmas. And Hollywood expectations set the stage and condition our minds to want to imitate and replicate all of that perfectness. And then there's that thing I call the temptation of marketing. Christmas marketing in America is wildly out of control. Before Halloween, we start marketing Christmas. And when you watch the ads and you see the newspapers and the magazines and the flyers that you get in your newspaper, my newspaper's about that thick this morning because it's next to their last shot, you know, in their Sunday paper. When you look at all of that marketing, those marketers know that holiday emotions are a weak spot for the consumer. And they use our sentiments against us. And they promise us all kinds of happiness if you will just buy this. Whatever it is, whether it's the newest iPhone, iPad, smartwatch, whether it is a new dress or a new car or a new boat, whether it is some whatever, some tools, whatever it is, whatever it is that cranks your motor, whatever it is makes you happy, new set of golf clubs, a new gun to shoot with, whatever it is. Hollywood and the marketing industry get together. They put these ads on. Man, they're fantastic. And they show you that if you'll buy me, your life will be a whole lot happier. And your family will love you more because you got it for them. And you'll have the warmest, most perfect Christmas you have ever had. And everybody will love being in your home because of what they get. Let me remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We don't need the treasures of this world to have love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. These are things that the world cannot offer at any price. They are free gifts to those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit living in them. See, Christmas trappings are only the shadow of a treasure, but the real gifts are the things that we already have. And so I want to encourage you this year to focus on passing out those gifts. The gifts of love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and so on. Passing out and learn to enjoy those gifts with others. The expectations of our joy and the fulfillment in the offerings of Christ should be what we are seeking instead of what the world has to offer us. Now you may think, preacher, you've strayed a long way from that text. But really I haven't. Because in verse 7, there is the perfect picture of a perfect Christmas. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was a young first-time mother with nothing over her head but a barn. There was a stepfather who only had carpentry skills to care for a growing family, one of whom is the Son of God. There's a few smelly animals and a helpless baby. The Savior of the world who only had a feeding trough to sleep in. Didn't smell good in that place. You ever been in a barnyard? Some of you have. All those animals means a lot of waste. But I would submit to you that there is a picture of a perfect Christmas. I'm sure that is not what Mary expected when she was told she would bear the Messiah. I don't know what went through her mind. But I don't think in her wildest dreams she thought that she would bring the Messiah into this world in a barn with a bunch of smelly animals around her. I don't know exactly what Joseph thought, but I feel like when he got that news, he began thinking about how he was going to take care of his family. And I think he at least felt somewhat inadequate as a provider when the only shelter he could find when she was travailing in birth was a barn. But it was all of God's plan. It was part of His plan, whether they knew it or not, to fulfill the greatest love story this world has ever seen. And it wasn't done in spite of unexpected circumstances. It was done in light of unexpected circumstances. We need to give up on perfection. We need to put away our expectations for the perfect Christmas. We need to understand that we don't place our hope in conditions or gifts or decorations. If you do, you will be sadly disappointed and you will have that let down like no other a week after Christmas, maybe even the day after. Like that night when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, even the most humble circumstances can become memories of a lifetime when we put the focus of our affection where it ought to be, upon Christ, who is the only perfection that you and I ever need. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Let us pray. Father, thank you for showing us in that little stable what a perfect Christmas looks like. No tree, no gifts, no songs. Just animals, odor, but the presence of Almighty God. Mary, humbly submissive to her role. Joseph, obedient to the information the angel had given him. And the Christ child, the one who created this world, the one who spoke and flung the universe into existence, helpless as a little baby in a feeding trough, being cared for by two human beings until he could grow like we did and go to that cross for which he came. That's the perfect Christmas. Help us, Lord, not to get so caught up in all the trappings, all the memories, all the regrets, all the Hollywood depictions, and all the Wall Street marketing, that we forget as Christians where our loyalties should be. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us what a perfect Christmas is all about. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.